Shut up, Ken.
It's Seven Land Hand, brought to you by Good Game St. James. Power to the people! We want La Revolution. This is no bullshit Russell Brand revolution. We're gobbos and orcs and wizards. This is smash and grab. Back in the day, when gobbos were real and democracy wasn't even a twinkle in its mother's eye, if you saw property, say a castle, and you wanted it, by God, you took it. Today, we're exploring the finesse of taking it, or in some cases, defending it. This is Seven Land Hand. Look at that, right on the music.
Boom. That was very professional.
Yeah, it's like we recorded the music just for this episode.
Yeah.
Let's find out what we're talking about today. First published in 2009 by Fireside Games, Castle Panic was the first release from this bunch of young upstart game publishers. Headed by lead designer and mathematical madman, Justin DeWitt, Fireside have gone on to publish Bears, Bloodsuckers, Munchkin Panic, Dead Panic, and the expansion to Castle Panic, The Wizard's Tower. Castle Panic has won nominations for the 2010 Golden Geek Best Children's Board Game and the 2010 Golden Geek Best Family Board Game. But what does it all mean to gamers? To rage across the battlefield with me today, I have the sexiest person ever to grace a Good Games t-shirt, Aaron Graham!
Oh, thank you, Dave. That's...
Take that.
And take that suit. Yeah, you.
Oh, there's someone else here as well.
Oh, all right.
He's wearing a Good Games t-shirt. Sister in arms, but most definitely part of the horse-mounted cavalry, Sarah Underwood.
Hi, everyone.
And welcome aboard. Lady and gentlemen, welcome to the siege-burnt walls of Seven Land Hand.
It's nice to be here on these siege-burnt walls.
It is. It's good to be on the inside of siege-burnt walls.
Mm.
Burnt by siege.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like they should be throwing fire at it, though.
Yeah, why did they do that? What did they put the fire on? When they're catapulting fire,
yeah.
What did they light up?
Hay bales?
Cows?
They used to fire
cows.
I played that in Stronghold. It's like a computer game, and like you can use either throw rocks at the walls to knock the walls down, or you can throw diseased cows into the middle of the thing, and then they all die of disease and stuff.
Because they all just go, beef! And it's like...
Delicious! I heard with an animator for that, just like someone eating like a diseased cow and then like dying.
Have you eaten diseased cow?
Probably, yeah. Probably. I can't donate blood because I might have mad cow disease.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For how long? Forever? For life?
I think 15 years from when you've left. So I can go 2016, I can donate blood.
And are you a big blood donor?
No.
No, me neither. Afraid of needles?
I've got tattoos and stuff.
Oh, it was...
But it's just... Taking blood out of you is very different to getting tattooed.
No, I don't
tattooed.
Like needles at all. I'll pass out just
from the
little bit of
giant tattoo
loss.
On your leg.
Oh, that's different.
That's different.
I love tattoos.
Yeah. More than you hate needles.
I'm just sitting in a room with festering pustules. Yeah. One's called Aaron, one's called Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm completely clean, everybody. Oh, man. I'm sounding like a 50-year-old transvestite today.
That's okay, though.
I've got more vapor drops here than... Think of a pun. No.
Then a man with a vapor drop shop.
Hey, you know when they walk out? Then a man with a vapor drop shop.
I like blunt metaphors like that. Yeah. He's got more skill than a very skillful person.
Insert a hilarious metaphor. I've got more cough soothing lozenges than...
Your mum after a big weekend.
Whoa! Gargle on that, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, nasty.
Okay, so we should get some marks in the sand played out.
Yep.
Shit. I should say, let's just fess
let's
up.
Let's draw a line in the sand.
We've already done this podcast once.
Yeah.
And the computer crashed.
Yeah.
So we're all pretty bummed out.
Yeah, we're all... morose.
Because we've already done all of this and we're trying to avoid everything we said earlier.
We're sadder than a very sad boy.
Yeah. Oh, the metaphors we had earlier on.
Man. But we can't reuse them because we've all heard them and laughed at them before.
Yeah. And when Sarah said that thing about...
Oh, man. That was probably the best thing.
She's been through all of her material, she said.
So, yeah, she said...
That was my best line.
Yeah, she actually burnt the jokes with a lighter because she's like, that's it. It's on the podcast now. And then the computer crashed and so we don't have any jokes left.
Meanwhile, Aaron's mum went through all of her material when she made her last skirt.
Because she's very fat?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Fat,
yeah. Is this enough?
I was like, she made a really short skirt because she had a small amount of material? That's weird, man.
That's weird.
That's weird.
I feel like she loves skimpy clothing.
Yeah. Like, is that an insult?
Oh, Aaron's mum in skimpy clothing. I haven't seen Aaron's mum before.
She's a lovely old Chinese
lady. She's a lovely lady. Yeah. We found. And Kian's not here. Yeah, she's
so
lovely.
So Kian's not here to be really racist to us.
Yeah. Do you have any ethnic background, Sarah?
No.
That's bullshit. Wait, go on, tell us what's the mix.
Nah, Aussie.
And then before that?
Scottish.
There you go.
Scotland. Yeah. I have a Scottish last name, but no Scottish ancestry. I don't know how that
happened. What's your last name?
Graham.
Oh, Graham. Yeah.
Yes. Graham.
Are you feeling comfortable with the nude look that we've got going in the pod, Sarah?
Yeah.
Because this is pod wear, and it took Madison about 45 minutes to get used to it.
To get used to being nude whilst recording the podcast.
But you do get quite used to it, and it's the only way to do it. So, you know, I know you're feeling a little bit sheltered and a bit worried at the moment, but it's fine.
It's fine.
Everybody does it.
Everybody does
She's weirdly comfortable, actually, about it.
Just should address that.
I feel a bit strange, honestly. I might just tuck something away.
As long as I keep my shoes on, I'm happy.
You got shoes?
Nice peacock, shoes by the way, only. Sarah.
Oh, thank you.
See what you did there.
Yeah. As you can see, it extends all the way out my side.
Yeah, there we go.
I get that all the time.
So is your husband listening to this?
No.
No. Have we said that this time through?
No.
So we made sure that Sarah.
GRU. No, that's not it.
No. Yeah, GRU.
GRU.
It's GRU.
Which is what he says when you meet him. You say, hey, Graham. He just goes, GRU.
He's definitely not listening to this.
GRU.
Groot?
And then he dances like
Groot. Yeah.
Like Groot. Yeah, that's what I was.
And
going
then he
for.
Used to be smaller, but then he grew.
Oh, this is terrible. Let's blob and talk about a game.
All right. Tell us all about Castle Panic. Sarah.
Yeah, what's the objective of the game, Castle Panic?
The objective of the game of Castle Panic.
That's it. Full sentence answers, like in high school.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What do you do? What's the point?
You have a tower. In a castle, and you have to defend your castle from the onslaughts of goblins.
And orcs and trolls and anything else that comes out of the forest
down to hunt your castle.
Yeah.
And what are they trying to... What's their objective? Destroy you?
They just want to come in and take everything and just ruin
just
your
out.
Day.
Yeah. Just hang out.
And that's the game. The game, it's the game mechanic is the goblins and the trolls and the orcs. That's the game, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you all work together to.
Yeah.
It's a collaborative game.
Yeah. So.
Cooperative. Cool.
Yeah.
All cooperative. It's all. You're all friends, and you're all trying to defeat the goblins.
Living in a castle.
Yeah.
Looking after the crop.
Yeah.
What else is
polishing the walls of stone.
Yeah.
Making breakfast.
Bread. Breakfast.
Breakfast.
Yeah. Milking your cow onto your special cow? K as you wear red clothing and red high heels. So that's the objective of the game. Wear red high heels while saving your cow from
marauding orcs.
Special K.
Yeah. How do you do that?
Oh, you just send out your best men and you destroy.
You make it sound so easy.
Yeah. Okay, so what you've got? You've got a board.
Yeah.
Because it's a board game.
Sure.
Yeah, the board game is surrounded by a forest. Mm-hmm. And then there's concentric circles working all the way into the center.
Mm-hmm.
Where is your castle? So
right in the center.
Yeah, you built it perfectly because it's right in the middle. You've got a nice look. There's lots of fields.
Mowed the grass in concentric circles and stuff.
Yeah, you sort of marked it so you know how far you can reach with your weapons, you see. And each concentric circle is broken into 6 bits.
Yeah, so the board is divided into 3 arcs of blue, red, and green.
Mm-hmm.
That's right,
And then those are
each
divided again into...
purple.
3 zones.
They're two lines.
Of archer, knight, and swordsman.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah.
And then your castle into the middle.
Mm-hmm. So you can see what's happening here, isn't it? Because the archery one is the outer ring.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then you've got
knight,
and then you've got soldier.
Swordsman.
Closest to the castle.
So that's how far each of those can reach to
defend
you against the oncoming hordes.
Yeah. And then so in the actual pack, you've got a dice. So it's the six sectors. Mm-hmm. It's just like a D6, so you can decide where everything is set.
Oh, cool. Right.
Yeah, and you take it from here. Sorry,
we place goblins and orcs and trolls around into the forest, which is the outer ring of the board. That's where they all start.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not...
What? No, they don't. They... I lied.
No, they start in a big pile. You've got a big pile and you just draw them randomly and then you roll a dice to say where they're going to go.
Oh, all right, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
And then that's how you find out where they start. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then they start in a... like,
can you get
it,
swamped
forest?
By you rolling the same number over again?
Definitely. Oh, but yeah. That can pay off later on. We'll get into some reasons why that can be good.
Yeah, so they actually start, once you've rolled the dice to determine where they go, they all start in one ring of the archer ring.
Yeah. Oh, no, then they start outside of that and then they move into that? Or can you hit them first time with your archer?
You can hit them first time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, nice. So you decide where the enemy attacking creatures are going to start, and then what happens?
Yeah, so it'll be... We all draw 5 cards, and at the start of that game, you can discard a card and redraw one.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and you can trade cards.
Oh, cool.
So
it's collaborative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. So if you've got something I want and I can't hit that orc over there.
Don't
I
look
can
him
trade.
Directly in the eyes when you say you've got something I want because he's an animal.
I'll look away. I'll look away quickly.
So we can trade. Mm-hmm.
But it's not like
we're helping each other.
Yeah, because it's not like Settlers of Catan where people realize that the best strategy is to not trade with anyone because it's benefiting them as much as it's benefiting you. You actually want to trade.
Yeah, because we want to defend our...
Is it possible to win without trading with people and be a jerk?
Yeah.
It'll be difficult,
because
right?
Because it's like when you get that first lot and all the first creatures appear.
Yeah.
Say Sarah's got some archery cards, but I'm going first. Mm-hmm. I'll say, I'll trade these knight cards, which you're going to need next round. So if there's a two-player guy.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I'll trade you for that archery card. Mm-hmm. So we swap, then I nail them all with my archers. And then when it goes to Sarah's go, the next go, and all of the creatures, because they all move one of those concentric circles.
It's like Space Invaders.
They come in, like Space Invaders. They come in, and all of a sudden, their target's only for knights. Your archers are no good anymore.
Because they might hit your knights with their arrows.
Yeah. And the swordsmen aren't going to be good until next round.
So
I just traded that knight to Sarah.
So that she can deal with it.
She's going
to
nail
it. Once they
and he, make... we can trade again.
So it's like a tower defense game. You guys played those tower defense games on iPad and stuff. So, well, it sounds like there's like a balloons tower defense and like Castle Rush.
Right.
The popular like tower defense games where you just have your base and all you're trying to do is stop people from getting to your base and they just come in waves. And you set up towers or things to defend in the road to stop them from getting to your final location. And once 10 get through, you lose or whatever it is.
Okay, it gets tricky though, doesn't it? Well, like once if they get to... Oh, because you've got a fortification in front of it, or can you build... You've got an outer wall, haven't you?
Yeah, you've got a wall and inside the wall is your castle.
Yeah.
And when your enemy gets to the wall, it attacks the wall, but it destroys your wall, but it also...
Destroys them.
Well, it loses a life.
Time. Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
It loses a life. If it's on one, it's gone. If it's on three, it's down to two.
Yeah, so the majority of things are on one to start off with.
Yeah, it's like gobbos are one, orcs will be
two, and trolls are three.
Something like that. Yeah.
So if a troll gets to your wall,
you really want to aim for that first. And you got to. It's a game you really have to plan ahead to swap cards with each other.
Yeah. So you're knocking them down.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just go, right, well, I'm going to take care of these other guys because he's going to bang into the wall. We'll lose the wall, but he'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And this other area is more of a concern.
Yeah, I really like games like that where you can see the flow of play and see if I trade this over here, you're going to be able to deal with that. We're going to like take a hit on this wall so that we can deal with it in a future turn. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's a few... So. Yeah, once it gets into the inner circle of the castle, instead of moving towards the castle, it then starts just the guy starts just going around in a circle and just starts destroying the crap out of everything.
Really?
Yeah, jeez. So you really need to get him out of your circle, and that's where a couple of some awesome cards come in, where you can push an enemy back into the forest, and
starts. So what do each of the cards do? How big is the is it a deck that everyone draws from?
Yeah, it's one deck. Everyone draws 5 cards, and if you you use three. You can use as many cards as you can in your turn.
Cool.
And then you have to wait till next round to redraw to your five cards.
Draw it back up to five every turn? Cool. All right. So, so are each of them fairly powerful, or is it just
usually
like
you get the three. Mm-hmm. So it's either you either get a swordsman, knight, or an archer. But then there's special cards.
Yeah, so you can draw a brick and someone else might draw a mortar. But you need the brick and mortar together to rebuild a wall. So you've got to keep building
your
wall.
You built a castle before, haven't you, Aaron?
Yeah. I got a brick and then I got a mortar and then I had a castle.
That's how it works. Yeah, and you can also get the barbarian, isn't it? He's the guy. Is it the barbarian? He's like the super guy.
Yeah.
He can do anything.
He'll destroy an enemy. Yeah.
And also all of those three different types of people, the archer, swordsman
and
the
knight,
they're all color specific.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you draw a card which is like any color knight or any color archer.
Wild knight.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a wild.
I had a wild knight the other day.
Yeah. You going to tell us about it?
Huh? Oh, no.
Where were you?
I was playing Castle Panic and I drew a wild knight from the deck. That was just the other night, so.
Back to you, Sarah.
Great stories.
You also got a hero, which allows you
segment.
To...
hero, that's what I was talking
travel
about.
Travel from swordsman to knight to archer. He can go anywhere.
Yeah.
As long as it's a specific colour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it the barbarian that's in the middle or is it the hero that can go anywhere?
The barbarian
can go anywhere.
There is a barbarian?
Yes.
Oh, I thought I just invented.
Barbarian seems like he'd be a bad guy, though.
No, he's on your side.
He's on your side. He's just
he's a friendly barbarian.
He's a friendly barbarian. Conan the friendly barbarian.
Yeah, you just set him loose within the castle walls.
What
and
a
he
nice
just
guy.
Kills everything. Yeah.
Kills everything for you.
So you know how I was talking about how everything lines up as well? If everything landed in the same sector, you can get... I forgot how you get it. How do you get the rolling ball thing? You know,
The boulder. So you... After every turn, you draw another two monsters and you roll the dice and you whatever number it lands on is specific where that monster is going to start in the forest.
Yeah.
And if you draw a boulder, it starts where the number that you rolled earlier.
Yeah. And it just keeps going.
And it goes and hits your anything that's in its way, including your enemies.
Yeah,
until your friends.
Definitely your enemies. So it'll just like flatten everything.
Yeah,
<That's> great. Flatten everything.
That's
but if it hits your wall, you lose your wall.
Yeah.
If there's no wall there, it'll hit your castle. And if there's no castle there, it'll roll straight through.
It goes straight through.
Until it hits something.
So if there's like...
But if you don't have a castle on... Don't you lose?
Oh, no, because there's five parts. There's six parts.
Yeah.
Oh,
because for each sector, there's no point in drawing it out for him, Sarah, because this is an audio podcast. See that, listeners?
See this picture, listeners? That's what it's like. Yeah.
Hear this picture.
Hear this picture.
It's beautifully drawn.
Hear.
Pencil illustration.
Yes, it's scratching the paper.
So
you've got six sections of the castle, which correspond to one of the
face
cones.
Off. That's right. Cool. So if one and, what would it be, one, two, three, mm-hmm. four, five, six, I don't know. If opposing sectors.
If like one and four.
Something like that.
One, two, three, four.
Yeah.
It'll roll all the way through your castle and mow down the stuff on the other side.
Mow down the people on the other side as well. So sometimes it can pay off. So sometimes you might draw a boulder and you go, oh, let's roll. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we want it to be there and it doesn't come
in. And
there,
then it smashes into your castle and you're really upset.
Yeah. You can also crank up your wall as well. You can add a fortification to it as well, which is, that's a card, isn't it, though? It's like
a
mortar
and
a brick.
Yep.
And so how does that work?
When you do redraw and you get a fortification, it's easy. You just say, I'm going to play this card, and you get this tiny little
object,
and you sort of hook it onto your wall.
It's a wooden wall.
So your wall takes an extra hit from from your enemy.
It looks like a little handbag. And the wall, I just keep hitting my mic. And the wall on the outside of the castle.
Is it 3D?
What?
The model of the castle.
Yeah, yeah.
The castle in the middle
stands
up.
Sarah, draw him a picture. Yeah, it stands up. It's an actual tower.
You said it was a board game.
Yeah, I know it's a board game with an actual castle.
With a 3D castle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
So the wall has a, you know, the mullion, or whatever. You know the bumps on top of a castle
crenellations.
Wall. It's called something like a mullion.
I thought they're called crenellations.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure.
Producer? Yeah. Anyway, because it's a sticky up bit.
A mullion, sure.
And you can hang your handbag fortification thing over the top of that.
Oh, right.
So it's like a stone wall, but then you hang this wooden thing over the top of it, and one of the enemy comes and smacks on the wall. He dies. Fortification goes. Wall's still there.
Cool, all right. Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, you also get some other cool items to help you out, like tar, which you can put on one of your enemies to slow them down that turn.
Put it on where
they don't move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like
you can use it on your enemy, or you can, you know,
for one round
build
he
a
doesn't
road.
Move in.
Oh, he just doesn't move. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he sticks fast. Boo. Yeah. So, and all of these things, it's really easy to pick up. This game. Mm-hmm. It's
you said in the intro it's like a family oriented game? Or is it just like very easy to pick up? Is that why that it would have won that?
Well, no, because it was nominated for Golden Geek's Best Children's Board Game and Golden Geek's Best Family Board Game. So it's definitely...
Have you guys played it with your younger versions of yourselves?
I've played it with a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
I've played it with a 6-year-old.
Is he...
and anyone else?
And my husband.
Grew. Had a Grew take to it.
Oh, it's really easy to learn, easy to set up. My son, you know, he can read, so he can just read the card and he knows exactly what he wants to do. We don't tell him, you should do this or you should do that. He already knows what he wants to do.
Oh, good, yeah. Like,
he already plans that ahead. It's really
tough,
good.
It's tough to teach games to people when the strategy is not immediately imminent, but they keep losing. And so like teaching someone magic or something, they don't understand the little things that you do to beat them as an experienced player. But once they... And it's so difficult to put it into words. So it's good that someone can come to this game, pick it up and just see how to apply a strategy.
Yeah.
It is a good, fun sort
of game. So I think it's going to be one of those games you can play it as an adult. Don't let the children and family thing scare you off. Mm-hmm. I had fun playing it.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those like those dinner party games, you know, where you've got people over.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much of a gamer they are. Mm-hmm. Can you finish this story for me?
Yeah. It seems like one of those games that you can have while you have... With people that aren't necessarily gamers, and you can—that's
where I was heading.
Whip it out, yeah,
yeah,
and they can join in and have as good a time as you, even though they don't play as many.
You can say, "Hey, I'm a massive gamer, but here's this game. Let's just play this because it's easy to pick up. And we can just do it.
That's good. Yeah, I'm trying to expand my collection to have more games like that because it's difficult when people come over and they're like, you like board games? Do you want to like play one? I'm just like,
here's Arkham
like
Horror.
It's like Kalos. It's just like a bland, like worker placement-y thing that like I really like the mechanics of, but people don't like that shit. When you're like trying to teach them, it takes an hour to teach them a game.
Mm. Yeah, this isn't, I mean, it's got a good visual to it as well because everything's nice and cartoony and very simple to read.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's not like you've got...
How are the rules? Easy to read rules?
It's all easy.
What
phases of play sort of thing.
Yeah, and what sort of price bracket are we talking about here?
Think
on the Aaron Graham board game
it's
scale?
It's low to medium. Aaron board medium scale?
Yeah.
Pricing scale?
On the Aaron board game medium scale, it's
pricing.
It's there. It's pricing.
It's
the upper range.
Yeah. I feel sick.
Sickly?
Sickly. Mm-hmm. All right. Have you got any strategies that you can hit us with straight up, Sarah, so that, you know, new players? Let's go.
I haven't played Castle Panic before. What am I looking to do in my first game?
Make him awesome at it.
Oh, so the best thing you could do is just trade all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got something that's useless, just discard it and redraw something and hope that you got something better.
It's like a metaphor for life. It's dating in a nutshell.
Even if that card that you just redrew wasn't good for you, it might be good for the person's... the next person.
Plenty more fish in the cards in the deck.
Yeah.
This girlfriend is no good for me, but it might be good for someone.
I should definitely tell her that to her face.
Yeah. Speaking of embarrassing stories. No, that's not the same.
How do you win and how do you lose?
Yeah, that's perfect. Well, that's what we should have said right at the beginning.
Yeah.
The objectives. You outlast the pool of monster tokens.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep drawing those until... they're gone.
Yeah.
And I think, do you have to kill everyone on the board?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so you have to survive all of the tokens flooding the board, attacking your castle.
Mm-hmm.
You kill them all off.
Yeah.
You go through all of your cards, you shuffle them up again.
Shuffle them
go
up
back
if
through
you
some.
Run yeah. out. Yeah.
And once you've gone through that entire pool, you kill everyone else that's left on the board.
Mm-hmm.
It's a win.
Yeah.
Cool.
And as soon as
you win cooperatively?
Yeah.
But there is another good thing.
Yeah.
The person who killed the most...
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about.
Goblins.
Trophy hunter.
Yeah, you... it's deemed the Goblin Slayer.
Yeah, it's just title.
That's what I'm after.
What are we really playing games for apart from except for
just
titles?
Be called Goblin Master.
Goblin Slayer.
Slayer, yeah. And you have to be referred to as Goblin Slayer until you play next time.
Yeah.
Aaron Goblin Slayer Graham.
Yeah, that's how it works.
AGG.
Yeah, so have you played the expansion, the Wizard's Tower? I haven't either. I just imagine it's bigger.
I want to because I think the more people you play and introduce to this game, say you have four players.
I do know that it adds another player to the game. Yeah.
I think you can have up to six. And I think you'll definitely want that expansion to make it a little bit harder.
Oh, is there
a little bit easy?
Do you know anything about what it does here? No, sorry. Two questions at once. Let's go with one. Aaron?
Is it a little bit easy out of the box, Castle Panic?
See, I've played it twice now. Mm-hmm. So the first time, it was tough. I played it with the three of us. And it was tough.
Did Gru drag you back?
Yeah.
Gru's just like trading but lying about what he's trading. You're like, no, you're gonna tell the truth.
We just got flooded really quickly by all these... by the enemy. It was just, it was hard. And then the second time we played it around, we were a bit more smarter about it, I guess, planning ahead. Mm-hmm. So we got on top of it pretty well.
It can turn nasty for you because some creatures, there's about four or five special creatures. And
could you roll...
Goblin King.
Yeah.
And when he arrives, he'll... Like all other goblins, what they...
Get plus one,
they
plus one?
They all move forward.
They all move forward one.
Oh, there's a healer as well. Right. It heals them. And then there's another one where you think you know... If you are planning ahead, you think you know where you're going to attack next. You pull out this silly little goblin and he changes
everyone's...
All the goblins go clockwise.
Oh,
so it really stuffs things up.
To the right.
Yeah.
It sounds like Space Invaders.
It's just Space Invaders.
It's just Space Invaders. And then they go bloop and your wall goes a little bit.
Yeah, so you're not worried about that goblin over there because there's a wall in front
you've got
of him.
It planned, you've
but
been
all
trading
of a sudden he moves over and there's
a different
no wall.
Color?
And
wall that you sacrificed earlier to kind of let through, there's just a goblin going in and marauding in your castle.
Exactly. So yeah, there's a few.
You lose when you lose all six bits of your inner castle, right?
Yes.
Yes, and that is how you lose.
That's how you lose. Cool.
Yeah. So that's
how do you kill one that's already in there?
You get in trouble. If they get inside, that's when you need your barbarian.
Yeah.
And I think your hero can do it. Can he? Or is no? He's just
the
one of the three other ones.
No, it's just
so
the barbarian.
Just the barbarian. Go inside and kill them while they're in there. Yeah.
And I think there's one other card that you
there's
can have.
There's a card
as well.
Where you can push him back, push anything you want back out into the forest.
And then you can kill him with a swordsman.
Then you try and get him back on the way back in.
Mm.
Right, I think I'm ready to play Castle Panic. Now.
Once they're inside the castle, it's trouble.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a different board game.
Okay, so trouble.
Yeah.
No,
dice popping thing.
I definitely give this one a thumbs up. It's good fun. It's quick. Quick to learn, I'd say. Still take about an hour to play, can't it?
Yeah,
I don't know. We haven't got the box here today. Is that what it says in the box?
Yeah, look, it took us an hour and a half to play.
Always take 20 minutes
to
off.
Learn and play.
Yeah.
That's good though, because
look,
like
if Gru was playing, take 20 minutes off. That's about right. Yeah,
just ragging on Gru for no reason.
He's not listening to the podcast, is he?
No.
He's not listening.
Does he listen to the podcast? He doesn't know how to operate an iPod, does he?
No.
He's got massive fingers. When he tries to press the buttons.
Gru music.
Gru music. And Sarah goes, I'll put on your favorite tune.
And he dances.
Yeah. He does. Just his legs stay still, but just from the waist up.
Graham, if you do listen to this, you're lovely. You're a great guy. I don't know where this has come from.
It's all Sarah's fault.
It's all Sarah's telling us to do
this.
This
is all scripted. I'm just reading what Sarah's told me to say.
Sarah wrote us a script. Make fun of Guru for 20 minutes. And we're just doing what we can.
We're up to about the third minute of
What's your son's name? We'll make fun of him. Oh, that's a joke. We won't do that.
Kieran.
Okay.
Kieran,
that's a name.
How you going, Kieran? High five.
Hey, Kieran. How you doing?
Hey. See how it works?
He high fived us from the future.
Woohoo! He'll enjoy that.
Kieran's really interested in any game I'd bring home. He's right into it. He'll set it up. I'm not ready, but he'll go set it up for me. And he'll sit there and he waits and waits and waits until we're ready to play.
Well, babysitting, hey? Go set up Arkham Horror. I'll be in there in about 8 or 9 hours. Mummy's drunk. I've just got to sober up and then we can maybe play. I don't know.
I'm going to sleep. I expect Arkham Horror to be set up by the time I wake up.
Sure.
Yeah. Wake up and play.
Yeah. And while you're at it, learn Spanish. And he just sits there with his little Spanish book saying, gracias.
And setting up.
Hola.
And then Cthulhu. And
hola, Cthulhu. Gracias. For world domination. I don't know the Spanish for that. I don't care in here.
Madness.
Gracias, madness. Mountains of. Anything else we like about Castle Panic? What do we want to talk about? And you've got notes there.
Yeah, I mean...
Don't dismiss the notes.
I love the game. No, I would definitely have this game at home and pull it out for the people like yourself. Friends like you have. Wow.
Friends like you.
Friends like you.
She looks at
friends
me like...
Friends like you have that me. Don't play, but that's a good one to get them into play. Mm-hmm.
What I got there was that Sarah looked at me through her eyebrows going, friends like you
friends
might
like you.
Come
I
around.
Guess.
Kind of said
if,
that wrong.
If I got home and you were there,
I guess we
it was
would
all weird.
Play the game.
What are we doing? Oh, God, it's so uncomfortable. I just,
David, what are you doing in my house?
I'm just sitting around waiting for a game of Castle Panic.
Oh, good. Thank goodness. That's what I was worried. That's what I hoped that you were
there
for.
I've looked for it everywhere in the house. I've been through your underwear drawer. It doesn't seem to be in there.
It wasn't in there.
It wasn't in there. Then I went this other drawer, the photo album. Seems a bit weird. A few pictures of Gru in there.
Damn. Yeah. Didn't buy that. Throw it away.
Yeah.
Then I found Castle Panic. It was in the cupboard, in the games cupboard. So.
Yeah. I watched a couple of home videos. It was Gru dancing in the lounge room. Ooh. Yeah, he loves his Katy Perry.
It's a massive... Put in your favourite song, Gru.
Yeah, what?
It's Teenage Dream by Katy Perry.
Daydream.
Okay, Gru.
Firework.
Don't be grumpy. Don't be grumpy with me, Gru. Put Firework on right after Teenage Dream finishes.
I kissed a girl. And I liked it.
Cherry Chapstick.
Can't do that voice with this throat.
Oh, dear. Would have been good any other week. Yeah. Just Gru jokes for an hour.
Maybe next week. We'll do Gru jokes
next week,
while Sarah's
Gru
not
jokes.
Here.
New segment, Gru jokes.
Maybe Gru will ride in. He'd get himself a Hyper Magic Nerd badge.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
More on that later.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Done.
Oh, so you were saying you like it or you hate it?
Yeah, no, I like it. I really like it. And I do want to play the expansion for it. I heard the expansion is it adds new things to help you. And other things to destroy you.
Yeah.
So it's...
Like most expansions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
More of the same, but more intense. All right. Okay. It's quiz time. David v. Sarah in the Battle Dome of Quizdom. Today's quiz is medieval history themed, which I'm excited about. I actually quite like medieval history.
Yeah.
So I went for the wild and wacky medieval history questions... With a slight hint towards them being Fraser's logic problems.
Fraser's logic problems.
It doesn't matter. Oh, you understand when I read it. This is going to be a best of five. I'm going to read you five questions. I'm going to need short form answers.
Sarah. Sarah, I know you don't smoke, neither do I, but I think now's the time to take up the habit. I'll meet you at the front.
I'm just
going
to sit here. I'll sit in here and explain it to everyone while these guys leave.
Yeah. Okay, go.
Okay, question number one of five.
Okay, number one.
Don't
look. She's already cheating.
I saw that. I did see
how's
that.
How's he writing the number one?
Yeah. Wait a second. Oh, let me see. Right. Sarah's drawn a lovely picture of a medieval house. Question number one. A medieval lady leaves her favorite medieval headdress in her garderobe. Oh. Why is she upset?
In a garderobe.
Garderobe.
Could you spell that for me, please?
Yep. Garderobe. GARDEROBE.
Garderobe.
Garderobe.
Why is she upset that a headdress...
So a medieval lady leaves her favourite medieval headdress in her garderobe. Why is she upset?
Oh, okay.
Okay. I think that's you see, it's kind of like a logic problem.
I think that's obvious.
But not really. Okay. question number two.
I wouldn't have a clue about
a man,
what?
A medieval man gets in a medieval fight with a medieval minstrel. He kicks the minstrel right in his sack butt. Why doesn't he fall down weeping in pain?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm expecting short form answers.
I know, it's a lot of description.
Short paragraph for each
one. What colour is his sack butt?
Brown.
Wow. I think it's a brown one.
So a man gets in a fight with a minstrel and kicks the minstrel right in his sack butt.
Yeah.
Why isn't he in pain?
Okay. Yeah. That's
easy. It's all easy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Short form answers, no longer than four sentences. Two sentences.
I just wrote down a paragraph there. That's fine. That's done.
Question number three. Why is a piggy bank called a piggy bank?
Oh, piggy bank. Yeah, that's something that I feel like I would have known once.
One time in your life.
Wow.
So question number three. Why is a piggy bank called a piggy bank? I'll give you a clue. It's medieval themed.
Is there anything to do with bacon in the answer?
Yeah.
Like bringing home the bacon?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Shh, shh, shh. It's not the answer. Okay.
Bringing home the ham.
Ham money.
Ham money.
Do you ham any money? Okay. Question number four. Medieval logic problems.
Oh, Henry, this is so quick.
Why are barber poles...
striped.
Striped red and white.
Okay.
Oh, I knew this one.
But you don't seem to be writing it down, Sarah. No, she's known it in a past life.
Yeah.
Question number four, that was, why are barber poles red and white and spinny? Like, you know, alternating down a cylindrical object. Question number five, medieval logic problems. We all know what livestock is. What is dead stock?
Oh, really? Yeah. It was dead stock in the Middle Ages. Oh, right. Well.
What is dead stock? So, quick recap. Number one, medieval lady left a medieval headdress in her garderobe. I'm just going to recap it when we do the answers anyway. So.
Oh, a bit of time to work on the answers if you can.
Yeah.
Really should have studied.
So, we'll do a recap.
Phil.
I came across these medieval logic problems while doing my medieval history exam the other week. This is 100% of my mark. I'm now a licensed medieval historian. I went to medievalhistorydegrees.com, paid $12,000, and they sent me my degree. So I printed it out on my printer, and now I'm a doctor of medieval history. That's what it says on the bit of paper that I have. So that's where these questions have come from.
Really should have studied.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm ready. 5 out of 5.
Here we go.
Oh, I'm gonna fail bad.
I'm gonna alternate between you guys. I'm gonna start with Sarah. A medieval lady leaves her favorite medieval headdress in her garderobe. Why is she so upset?
I have no idea. Maybe she's got a period or something.
Whoa! We didn't even start making the sexist jokes. Just because she's a woman doesn't mean that she has a period.
Yes. So. Thing like, not all women have periods.
I don't know if you know that.
Do you have any idea
what a garderobe is? No, okay, so Sarah, pass. David.
Because it's a closet for shoes.
The shoe robe?
Yeah.
No, both incorrect. Pass, yeah. Incorrect. Closet for shoes. A garderobe is the toilet shaft of a castle.
Oh, really?
She left her headdress in the garderobe.
Infers that she was in there at some stage.
She was inside it. Yeah. So she left it there. She was upset.
Is this also where they got the term royal flush from? Where they stick your head down the toilet and flush?
Very interesting.
Yeah, and she got
there. Possibly. Mm. Another bit of trivia about this. Attackers sieging castles, sometimes they do the sneaky thing, horse style, climb up the toilet shaft, get into the castle, and then they just like splash a bit of water down there and they'd slip down and had to put like fortifications around the bottom of their garderobes so that people couldn't get up.
So if you were under siege, you'd give everyone curries on a regular basis and everyone would be up there just keep crapping down the garderobe.
Do your bit for protect your house.
Yeah.
Shit lots.
Yeah, they get that guy. You know that guy's just like... And, oh, Jesus. John's dropped another one. It's fucking terrible. Go, great, we're under siege. Get him up to the garderobe.
Quick, put him in the garderobe.
And then like, throw a torch down there.
Explosion.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. No.
No, I think that was an edited out bit. We can use that again.
Good. Yeah. Okay, good.
Fantastic.
All right, David.
You've heard nothing at home.
I'm hitting you up for question number two. Mm. A man gets in a fight with a minstrel, kicks the minstrel in his sack butt.
Yeah.
Why isn't he upset?
Didn't hurt him.
It's his case for his mandolin.
I'll think about that answer. Sarah, why isn't he upset that he got
kicked?
He's actually
got the exact same answer as me.
She just looked at you and you were like, that's pretty close to the answer. And just copied off me.
It says whatever David says on her bit of paper there.
That's the first time someone's cheated in the way that we've told people to cheat always.
Excellent, well done.
If I am right and she's just copied off me, and I'll let her have the point.
He's got like this,
you've heard of the
barrier around his paper, so you're just waiting to
you can only cheat on two out of the five questions.
It's
that's
my
good. That's
prophylactic
why
defenses, sir, because you said you were burning up earlier on. And I didn't make any herpes jokes.
Oh.
So medieval instruments, the lute, the harp, the cornet, reedy pipes, and the sackbut, which is a medieval trombone. You guys went with musical instrument theme things, so I'm going to give you both half a point.
Woohoo! Half a point, Sarah. Well, high five.
Yes.
Sarah gets a cheating point.
Yes.
Well done. Good high five, guys. Sarah, to you, why is a piggy bank called a piggy bank?
I apologize for the herpes reference.
I don't know. I think
everyone, we love our herpes friends.
Gru herp.
Sorry. Sarah, over to you.
Were pigs something that, I don't know, it was hard to get the bacon in that, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was only for the royalty, really, to eat the pigs and the bacon.
Oh, yeah, because it's expensive meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So piggy, you know, you'd sell the pig, you'd get the money.
It would go into your piggy bank.
Well, it'd be called a piggy bank because the pigs were...
You'd save up for bacon and stuff during the year? Okay, sure.
I don't know, I don't really have a good answer.
Oh, that's a good answer.
That's good.
That's got
logical, reasonable, well thought out.
You know how they always call an American football a pig's bladder?
Mm.
And they used to maybe make them out of that or something like that? I thought maybe the it was a
like
part,
a coin pouch.
Yeah. I thought maybe there was a coin pouch or something they used to make out of pig leather or something like that in the past. And they just called it like a piggy bank.
Oh.
Piggy bank. Both very good answers, but both completely incorrect. very sad. Good reasoning on both of them, though.
Thanks, man.
Because I could imagine you holding money in a piggy bladder bank.
If they're making a football out of it.
And also, pork, very expensive meat. Peasants couldn't have it all the time. So
that leans
save
on
up,
the bringing home the bacon
bank.
Stuff, doesn't it?
I kind of try to throw you off there. It's from the Middle English medieval word pig, which is about P-Y-G-G, which is a type of clay that they used to make coin jars out of. So it's a pig bank, and then as it was anglicized, piggy bank, and then it's just become a pig because
it a pig. Yeah.
It sounds like the word
forgot.
Pig.
Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting. No points for either of you.
I feel like I've learnt and grown.
Points update, half a point each.
Half a point each.
Question number four, going to David. Sarah, no cheating. If your answer is the same as his, I will be skeptical.
I can't read my answer, so I'm hoping the question will give me a clue to what I've written here.
Why are barber poles striped red and white?
Oh, because they used to do medical procedures there as well. So that's to represent blood and bandages.
Sarah, what's your answer?
Yeah,
I saw that look.
Well, look, it's not that it's just easy to see. It's, you know, it becomes familiar. But I didn't really write an answer because I can't really remember what it was for.
But you've heard it somewhere in the past.
Yeah,
Did David's answer ring any bells?
It sounds familiar, but I don't think that's quite right.
Yeah, it's correct, David. Ooh. David gets the point.
It is actually correct. It's
actually
correct. Blood and bandages.
Yeah, so barbers used to do both shaving, haircuts, and they also did surgery and dentistry. They used to mop up the blood with these bandages and then leave them out to dry, and the wind would wrap them around the pole. So it'd be like red and white.
And now
bandages.
It works both ways because, like, I don't want to cast any aspersions on hairdressers or doctors, but I think neither group should be involved in what the other one does.
Yeah.
We've now reached a point in human history where doctors don't have to be the same as the people who cut your hair because those things are wildly different.
Yes, different skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well done, David. 1.5 points already.
What's Sarah got?
Here we go. Sarah's on half.
Like, she just says
she's on
one.
Half one. Cheating.
Cheating.
You got half a point because you guys said it's a mandolin case. Which
and she copied that off
and
me.
And she copied it off you.
That's right.
So it's my half. Okay. So I've actually got two. Sure. She's got nothing.
Here we go. The onus is on you, Sarah. You have to get this one right to even be in the running to get it. What is
big
dead
prize
stock?
At the end of this. She doesn't
dead
even know what
animals.
She's playing for.
Dead animals. Is that your final answer?
Well, because you related
it. So to livestock is a live animal. Dead stock is dead animals, like meat and meat and stuff. Okay, David.
I've got two answers.
Yeah. I'm only going to accept one of them.
Yeah, we'll accept the second one. Okay. Because the first one, dead stock is the less successful follow-up to Woodstock.
What? When was Woodstock? 60s?
Oh, yeah, that's medieval
times.
So
everyone that was 30 in Woodstock can't go now.
Anyway.
Because of dead stock.
I went with that dead stock is, just what you referred to as animals post-slaughterhouse.
Oh, okay, sure. So meat, and so they'd be like, there's my livestock, and in the warehouse is my dead stock.
Yeah.
Both of you, very reasonable, rational answers, but both wrong.
Yeah.
Even the Woodstock thing?
Even the Woodstock thing was the correct answer. dead stock is everything that's related, farm-related, but is not alive in any way. So it's like tools and stuff.
Ah, right.
That's your dead stock.
That's interesting.
Because it's dead. It's made from dead trees and shit.
Is it archaic now? Is it still used?
No one uses it.
No one uses it anymore.
So it's only used in medieval times. Medieval quiz, done. David Wildsmith wins.
Well done, David.
I wrote the wrong name in the wrong columns, so Sarah wins. 1.5 to half.
Oh, that hurts.
Wow. No, sorry, David wins 1.5
Okay, let's keep
half.
The prize secret now since Sarah didn't win.
All right. Chewed up popstick.
Now, let's get back and then do a quickie on Ruckus, eh? Mm-hmm. Fresh. In a segment we'd like to call Fresh Releases. Oh, I'll think of something funnier. Fresh Releases!
The Fresh Releases.
Fresh.
Yeah.
So fresh, hits of 2014. All right, okay. Fresh Releases today. We're looking at Ruckus, the Goblin Army game. This is a kickstarted card game for 2 to 4 players designed by Matthew Papa.
Mathematical Madman.
From the Matthews and the Papas. And his design company, he's decided to call Goblin Army Games.
It's very unimaginative, isn't it? It's like they've limited themselves to one game.
Ruckus the Goblin Army Game by Goblin Army Games. Coming soon. Ruckus 2. Another Goblin Army Game.
Mm.
Goblin Army. Goblin Army Game by Goblin Army Games.
Monopoly by Goblin Army Games. Yeah.
Everyone's a Goblin. Monopoly Goblin Army Edition by Goblin Army Games.
You can see there's a theme occurring.
Goblin Army Game, the movie, the game. Goblin Army Game.
Okay, guys, by Goblin Army Game. This is the brain's trust. What are we going to do, Goblin Army Games? What's our next game going to be about?
So we've got
Goblin Army.
Yeah, so we.
I love what you're thinking, Sarah. Goblin Army. What else have we got?
Let me lay it down.
Yeah.
We've made one Goblin Army game.
Yeah.
We sold a lot of copies of it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the next game that we do.
Yeah.
It's got goblins.
Yeah.
The goblins are in an army. And the game is mostly built around this army of goblins. So I'm thinking of calling it Army of Goblins.
Yeah. Yeah.
The game.
Oh, you know what we could do?
What?
We could make them either zombies.
Yep.
Or Cthulhu. And then it could be Cthulhu Goblin Army game.
The Cthulhu expansion.
The zombie expansion.
I think we might have to change our company name, though, because Cthulhu's not in there. We can really only do Goblin Army games now that we're called Goblin Army games.
So Cthulhu's dead?
Cthulhu's out, yeah. It's mostly got to be about goblins and or armies.
Why is that guy clearing my desk in the office?
Get out.
I can't believe I got fired. It was an original idea, guys. Come on,
Goblin Army. Okay, they've cornered the market on Goblin Army games, and now they're here to present us with Ruckus. That's what the actual game's called.
It's their opening release.
Yeah.
I think.
It's a fresh release from Goblin Army Games.
Fresh releases. What's the objective of Ruckus?
The objective of Ruckus is to get the most victory points after some sort of gobbo Armageddon. And the narrative of the game is that you're controlling different goblin armies and they hate each other and they need to fight. So would you like to be the victorious goblin army?
Sarah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a yes?
Yeah, that's a yes.
So we're going for yes.
Yeah.
So that's the narrative.
Yeah. This is... we don't have a release date on this game yet. It's just been kickstarted. 2 to 4 players, 20 minutes to play. Card-based, so pretty easy to set up. Not a heap of, set up time. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
You've already posted that it's coming out, though, soon, haven't you, Sarah?
We don't have a date, but we can take pre-orders for the game.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we'll go over some of the components. It comes with some screens to hide your secret machinations of
battle
your goblin army.
Battle screens.
And then we also have kicker cards, which are recruits, like one-time use cards.
Oh, the battle screens as well have a logo on them telling you which faction you're from.
What are the different factions?
The factions are necromancers, thieves...
Clerics,
and
like
the
fighters.
Yeah,
I don't know, like fighters.
Yeah.
I don't have it on a bit of paper.
I don't know if
anything.
The beta tested one did. I think all of the battle screens were the same.
Oh yeah,
but then the actual.
But now they've got like necromancer goblins and stuff. On
yeah, but it's still cartoony vibe. But they've all the published version is a lot sweeter. It's a lot nicer.
Cool. All right. Awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, like it's interesting seeing Kickstarter games going from literally that's selling the idea.
Yeah.
They got $100,000 to make it, and then it looks this. You got this really nice polished product when they finally.
Because it was mostly just white with green gobos drawn all over the stuff. That was everything was that. Mm-hmm. And then now they've gone for that sort of aged paper kind of look.
I like that. Yeah, I like that kind of thing. Other cards, you're fighting for the victory cards. Each one of them is worth a certain amount of victory points.
Yeah, they're like... and they've changed as well. Like in the beta, it was there were just victory tokens, like little round cardboard circles.
Mm-hmm.
And you would get a victory point. Mm-hmm. And you could flip them. And on the other side, there'd be a logo, which would be different for all the different victory tokens.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
And you could use them within the game. So you might flip it and put it on one of your gobo soldiers, and you would
so
give
you can
him
sacrifice
extra life.
Victory points to...
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's
so you could give your guy extra life,
mm-hmm.
or you give him some other sort of ability.
Mm-hmm.
They have little marks on them for melee or archery, mm-hmm. or ranged, I should say.
Yeah.
And some of them have that on it as well. But in the published version... They now have a one or a two on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that has any impact on what... I'd imagine the ones that you flip will be reasonably all right.
Yeah.
But the twos will probably have a bit more woofy power to them.
Oh, cool.
I would imagine.
Sure. Mm. So we've got those battle screens that we talked about. They're,
I love the battle screens.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really good. Because you have five cards in your hands, and you put up your little screen, and you lay out your army... Basically,
and then reveal the
and then
screen.
Simultaneously you reveal your screen.
What show is that on? Stars in Their Eyes.
Yeah,
yeah, like the screen that reveals them, and it's like this new
and
diamond.
If you start arguing with anybody, you have to use the full name. It's not, hey, stop looking at my cards, man.
Yeah.
You have to go, hey, stop picking me up my battle screen, man. You have to say battle screen.
Don't look at my battle screen.
Yeah, stop picking me up my battle screen, dude. Stuff like that.
It's my battle screen.
Yeah,
my faction related battle screen for my necromancer goblin army.
You can
my
see
goblin
how this
army
would work.
Yeah. Right, faction cards.
Yeah,
I assume they determine factions.
Well,
of some kind.
That's your individual set. So you know those four factions that we said before. They have their own army. Necromancers. There's a necromancer deck.
Thieves deck.
Cleric deck.
Fighter deck. A fighter deck? Is there a fighter deck in there?
Yeah.
Is there a fighter battle screen?
No. Oh, well, there is. Yeah. There is the battle screen for all of those factions.
Is there a thief battle screen?
There is.
Yes.
Did we cover this?
Is there a cleric battle screen?
There is. In the same packet.
But it seems like if you would have those three, that you would have a necromancer battle screen, though.
Yeah, you probably would.
Isn't one. Right. The necromancer's just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Make your own battle screen, man. You're messing with dead guys. Come on.
Get this bit of paper.
Have you seen all the necromancers that are on magic cards?
Yeah.
They're not wandering around with clean bits of paper or anything like that. They've got like,
it's just like
limbs
a ream of reflex, just like scribbling notes on.
They just put a limb down on the table. Yeah. I'm sitting a mommy behind this leg.
Yeah. No battle screens for them.
No.
You got first player token. So
yeah,
I think that's how you determine first player.
It
who
is.
Was the first
player. And that in the beta was a little white with green gobbo cutout. And now you have... now it's a circular one, I think, and it has the same guy picture on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, if that's too cryptic for people, you know, if there's a disc with a gobbo and
mm-hmm.
first player written on it, that's too hard. You can flip it on the other side. It says green. That says first player.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
In case you get confused.
Yeah. First player token is very important.
It's like, why are you handing this to me? What is this? This is a blank disc. Oh,
it's got a picture of a green guy on it. Oh, what do I do with this?
I don't like goblins. Why did we buy this game?
You bought a
goblin
game
army
from goblin
game.
What's this about?
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
So how to play? You each choose one of your factions.
Yeah.
Yep.
Necromancers, thieves, clerics, fighters.
What were they again?
Necromancers, thieves, clerics, and another one I can't
remember.
We've got
that nailed, I think. Yeah.
Each one of those has a battle screen. You set up your army behind said battle screen.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, bam, reveal them.
Yeah, no, the 3, 2, 1, that's another important thing of the published version is that they've got a nice picture guide on the inside now. I'm not sure if that was on the beta. And they've got legal requirements on how you can set up your army.
Yeah.
The first row is always going to take damage first.
Yep.
And then your second row is okay. They're not going to get...
Are they going to get damaged?
I don't know. And then you've got the third row.
Not the Vanguard. Opposite of the Vanguard.
But you know how we mentioned earlier on that some of them have melee skills. Yeah. Some of them have range skills. So you put... In setting up, you could put your ranged guys towards the back.
Mm-hmm.
And your melee guys up towards the front for reasons we'll probably cover
soon.
But you can't stick a whole bunch of people up the back and just have one poor bastard up the front who's going to get nailed by everyone's arrows.
Yeah.
There's legal setups.
Oh, okay, cool. So it's like the strategy of it comes from everyone trying to guess what everyone else is going to do?
The strategy goes a bit off the hook from here. I mean, it's a very simple game, very easy to learn, but it gets... Yeah. There's a few twists still yet to come.
Yeah, cool. So each of you has has your deck that you're drawing these five cards from and setting up in your army.
Yeah.
So the melee characters will deal front row to front row. Range will go from anywhere to deal damage to the front row. So only front row, like you said. And then first player goes on the table and they activate an ability.
That's the interesting thing. This can snowball from here, right? So I think if you just worked out the damage as it was, just straight up, you would go, right, because damage is instantaneous, like magic. Yeah. You'd go, right, you count up all the damage that you could possibly do, so like your melee guys plus your ranged guys, bang, that's going to happen to the guys at the front.
Mm-hmm.
And your opponent works out where they're going to put the damage.
Yeah.
So you've got some guys who've got 2 life, some guys who've got 1.
You can spread it out a little bit.
You can spread it out a bit, so the 2 guys can soak up a bit of damage if they want, or if one of them's got a specific activated ability, which is going to come important.
Mm-hmm.
You want that. So that's how it would work out. It would just be like, bang. And then it seems like everyone's gone.
Yeah. But it seems like how goblin armies would work. Yeah. They just kind of run at each other.
But what happens is you've got like some sort of combo thing. So sometimes when a card comes into play, you get bonuses. So when you actually set up your army, I think those bonuses would happen. So you could put a 4th man on the front row or something like that. And then there's other ones which will be something like discard one of your unit, I think they refer to them as. Mm-hmm. So you might put someone shitty in the second row.
Yeah.
First player, you go, right, I'm going to act this activated ability. I'm going to activate it by discarding this guy in the second row. that will then give you an advantage of some sort.
Uh-huh.
I think there might be, this could be some sort of thing written down. So that'll give you some sort of advantage. But then not only... Do you get an advantage for that? You know, so you might get an extra guy in the front row, or you get an extra ranged attack on somebody or something like that, or some extra health. The guy you discarded, he might have an activated ability when this guy is discarded extra shit happens. So you can add it. Yeah. That's right. One of them's adds extra damage. So when you work out the damage that you've given, you add another 1 or 2 to it, right? Any damage which doesn't actually get...
So it's got kind of deck buildery elements to it in that you can make a combination of cards that work very well together.
Yeah. Yeah. So
as
you
opposed
don't always,
to just being...
So you might not always play your 5 cards that are in your hand either. You know, you've got to set up a little bit of strength for offense. You've got to set a little bit of a strategy for defense.
Mm-hmm.
And you might just put 4 cards out because you want this 1 card. It's no good... With what you've got, you might have a good combo on it. You
also make him sweat a bit because I don't know what you're doing.
No, but you might want to keep that for the next round when you're hoping, that'll combo great with, you know, it might be the discard a card guy, discard a unit guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I want the guy that when he gets discarded, something good happens.
Yeah.
So I'm going to save him for when I draw that other card up.
Cool.
But then you want man light for the fight.
Mm. And you got to be careful on who you're attacking as well, because if the goblin you're attacking is carrying a bomb,
it goes
off and it's going to, you know... get you as well.
All these goblins have got different names. Yeah. And one of them's called something like, he's got a bomb explosion kind
goblin
of name.
Goblin Kaboomist.
It's a Goblin Kaboomist.
Yeah.
He's got a name like that. So when he gets killed, and you remember the owner of that goblin can assign damage. So if you fire a whole volley of arrows over, he goes, right, this guy's going to die.
when that guy dies, he assigns a point of damage to someone else.
Yeah. Explodes like on the front lines and blows up a heap of your shit. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, and this whole while you're doing this whole this battle, is what you're playing for is a victory card, which is one of the components we forgot to mention.
Yep.
Now that is a kind of like a reinforcement or a special card which allows you extra strength powers.
Cool.
You win the game or the round and you get that card, it goes into your discard pile.
And it gets reshuffled back in.
Yeah.
And then, so it kind of rewards you for doing well, but like after a few turns when your deck's been reshuffled.
And stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, you start playing with stronger cards as you venture through the game.
And then, so once all the damage has been resolved or the battles have been fought, you your victory card goes to your discard pile, whoever won, and then you draw a new 5-card army behind your battle screen.
And set it all battle screens come back down.
Yeah,
so it's very good because you can set up, you could have the perfect combo set up with your 5 cards.
Yeah.
You lift the screen and you don't know what the other person's going to play. They lift their screen and nobody can completely just ruin what you've got planned.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's as an army minimum, you know, because what if they played nothing?
I assume they automatically lose.
They'd probably just lose, wouldn't they? I don't know. I didn't think of a rule on
that. Yeah, I think it does say you can play as many as your hand can allow.
So that zero is included in as many?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to play. It's hard to say with it not being something that we've played yet.
But
yeah,
it's sometimes difficult to see how exactly a game's going to feel. The feel of a game is something that is hard to quantify. even with ones that you have played, like you like the feel of some games more than others, and this one just seems like it's very fast paced.
Yeah,
it seems
definitely.
Like it is. Yeah, they say 20 minutes for a game.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's a two person. That's a two person game, and then you can play 3 or 4 person game.
Yeah,
which they say just. Makes the mayhem, you know.
Yeah. So is it like when you reveal you say I'm going to attack David. When you
I'm not sure how the three or four player works. But it takes a little bit longer, and it's a little bit more chaotic, which is always good for a game.
So what are we? So altogether, it seems like a very good thing. I imagine there's going to be on the lower end of the spectrum.
Yeah,
be able to pick it up for like less than $40.
I'd imagine so.
Comes with enough cards to play 2 to 4 players.
Yeah, we can play 4 players because we've got 4 factions.
Yeah, plays quick.
Yeah,
easy setup time.
Seems like it's real easy to play, to pick up and to play. Mm-hmm. But then again, there's that level of strategy where you can once you start knowing the cards and the combos you could have.
Yeah,
imagine it gets off the hook a little
bit.
Yeah. So did you just look at the beta version, the ones from the Kickstarter? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'm keen for when it comes out. Sit down with a group of people that don't even play.
And it looks like one that's like easy. Castle Panic that you can pick up and
more
just
more goblins.
Play. Yeah. We've got a lot of goblin-related
things. This time we are the goblin army.
Yeah. And it's improved the artwork and stuff, you said, from the beta version on the Kickstarter.
Yeah, just the general quality of everything looks a little bit better. But that's what you're going to get, isn't it? They're going to Kickstarter. It's just the show.
I've got to get on top
of
these Kickstarter things.
I don't even know how it works, you know?
Like,
you find them, you know?
Well, so it's like people present a project and say, I'm going to be doing this thing. Say, Peter Moorbacher, we were speaking to Austin about it.
Oh, that was amazing. Yes. What Austin was talking about.
Yeah. So how this artist was doing it was like, I've got these prints for sale. If I get enough money to get them printed, everyone that backed me to get to that point will get a special item of some kind.
Yeah.
Then once you go past stretch goals, so say double the original amount that he thought, he's like, I'm going to get a book funded. And so the more money that he has... to make all this stuff, the more benefits you get as a backer. But it also just means that as it gets more and more popular, more and more people back it, and he'll release even more stuff. So in this case, like Coup, I backed on Kickstarter, got a copy of it, and I got a bunch of deluxe stuff that people didn't get because they wanted to say thank you to people that had backed them from very early when it was just it's a bluffing and deception card game. I was like, that sounds pretty good. I'll put $10 towards it, but it helps them fund the whole project.
Yeah, that's a great
idea. And then
I
get some sweet thing out of it at the end. I got sent a deluxe edition of the game.
Yeah.
So I think if you back this one, I imagine they give you some deluxe accessories, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
They'll give you multiple...
Goblins.
Goblins.
More goblins.
They might give you a battle screen. They'll give you a necromancer battle screen. They give you...
Cleric. They give you cleric ones?
They'd probably give you a cleric one.
Yeah.
And if they're giving you a necromancer and a cleric one...
You know what's coming? Fighters?
Fighter.
Yeah.
And then you know what's after that?
No.
The meat axe.
The meat axe. I was thinking about the meat axes then, actually.
Yeah, me too.
I wonder if he's coming up
in
tweets
and news.
I don't think he is. I don't think it's
close. I've got a reason for it. He's been in contact with me.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. Ruckus, the Goblin Army game by Goblin Army Games and Matthew Papa. Thumbs up from us. We're looking forward to playing it.
Yeah.
He's probably a mathematical genius.
Mathematical madman.
Mathematical madman.
All right. So, no expansions because it's brand new.
Yeah.
Brand new.
What do you think? We're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Might as well.
I'm looking forward to playing.
Pod blob here. Get my voice back.
Have a blob.
With tweets and news.
Neats and twos. I'm introducing this because Dr. David's voice is giving out. What's that, Gru?
Gru.
Stop. You'll hurt your throat, Gru. So, Neats and twos today. Didn't get a heap of varied responses. We do have... I do have some information from... I think you know.
But he's out of town.
He is out of town.
And you still got a message from... The Meat Axe.
The Meat Axe. Yeah. I got a message.
You know, Sarah, do you know about the Meat Axe?
No, please enlighten me.
So
she must be the only girl in the whole state
that doesn't know about the Meat Axe.
It's
legendary.
Legendary. The thing this guy doesn't do. It's obviously because Gru's intimidating sort of demeanor.
Stature,
it's kept him away.
Yeah, so...
Otherwise, you would know about
it. You would know of the Meat Axe. You'd see him come from a mile away.
Yeah, you would. You'd smell him come from a mile away. Yeah. Like half a mile away.
Delicious smells coming, emanating from the Meat Axe.
What's that mad bastard been up to? I thought he was out of town.
He has been out of town. Yeah. He sent me a Snapchat of his face. It said, "I'm Batman." And then he sent me another Snapchat of himself on the toilet. So that's the updates from the Meat Axe.
Can we put that in the show notes?
No, it's Snapchat. You don't get to keep it.
Oh, you don't?
So I got 4 seconds of being like, what's he doing? Oh, he's shitting. Oh, it's gone. Can't get it back. So
that's probably a good thing, isn't it? Because I'll be very tempted to put it
in. I went to screenshot it and it was too late.
So if someone contacts you by Snapshot, just get ready to screenshot
Snapchat,
it.
Snapchat. So you always have to have your finger on it to even view it, and then you've got to use your other two fingers to push the other buttons to Snapchat it. Snapshot it. It's really hard.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, didn't get a picture of that, so we'll have to hear from the Meat Axe next week. Yeah. And then I got a picture of his girlfriend or something. Whatever.
His girlfriend on the toilet. Right.
Now she was eating lunch.
Okay.
What's
happening with the Super Series?
Well, I'll read the Neats and Toys first before
I know, but that's the first point. In the Seven Land Hand Super Series, tweets and news.
I feel like tweets and news should be first before we do housekeeping.
You're in charge.
That's housekeeping, right?
You go for it.
I've got the run sheet right here. From Axel's Philosophy Corner this week.
Oh, yeah. Axel's Philosophy Corner. Oh,
more question for you. It's not a quiz, Sarah. Don't worry about it. It's
this is something... Yeah, you better tell her what the bad history of this.
So, Axel's Philosophy Corner. Axel submits a question to us every week. It's usually pretty deep. We usually think about it in silence for about 10 minutes, and then we give a calm, responsive answer after meditating on it.
Yeah.
So,
and it's even got its own sort of segment.
Other ones last week were like, would you rather vomit out of your bum or poo out of your mouth or something? I can't remember what it was last week. But this week...
Serious issues. So
somewhat...
Yeah, sure.
So any of the kids that are listening, they can learn and grow.
Yeah, learn and grow. Learn and grow.
It'll make you laugh and make you cry. Most of all, make you think.
Sure.
A somewhat... less filth-centric question from Axel's Philosophy Corner this week. That's his words, not mine. Would you rather...
The APC.
Respawn every time you die in real life, the same way that you do in a video game.
Yeah.
Or be able to create save points in your life that you could reload at any point after you make a regrettable decision.
Yeah.
In brackets, in the latter option, though, when you die the second time, you'd properly die.
Probably.
You properly die.
Oh, properly. Because it was probably...
He says death is permanent.
Yeah. I think we should let Sarah... I think we've bullied Sarah into many decisions.
I think I'd like to respawn.
Just respawn forever. Yep. Constantly. Yep. Just never die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what's the downside to respawning?
I think that you live forever, and then if you die as an old person, you just respawn as an old person.
That would be bad, wouldn't it?
You'd just keep dying, though. At the end, you can't...
Yeah, like...
I'm gone.
Your heart would fail.
Eventually.
And then it would fail again, right?
Yeah, eventually you'd get to that... You know,
you get stuck in the loop of just dead alive.
It's like that.
That would be horrible.
If you walk towards a wall halfway to a wall and stopped, and then walked halfway again.
Yep.
How many times would you have to walk before you got there? And it's infinite. But that last bit is fucking boring.
Yeah.
And that's what this last respawn loop is.
In walking towards a wall, though, eventually your shoes would touch the walls, so you'd kind of be there. So that's the answer.
Depends how big your shoes were. Did they say if you did it barefoot?
Sorry, my mistake. In the barefoot version, you'd never reach.
If we were in the pod, you'd be naked. So what we're doing is we're talking in the pod.
I think I would like to be able to create save points just before I'm about to do something monumentally dumb. So in case it it's like
10, that's all the time.
10% to work out, but like then
I would have done it before I started this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And then we could go back and redo. But yeah, I think the problem with the respawning forever thing is that eventually your organs would be failing and shit, and you'd just respawn as a sickly old person.
Yeah, you'd get that 1 second loop at the end of your life. That's how it sounds.
And then you'd be like, okay, kill me. This is really horrible. And people would be like, stab you.
And you'd respawn.
And then you'd respawn. No! But what do you do? You just got to chop you into like little bits. And then, but then you keep coming alive and then die from being chopped into little bits. It's fucked. That's bad.
But where would it respawn from? At what point?
That's the thing, though.
I think. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Would you respawn again?
So like a day before?
Yeah.
We'd have to consult the Access Philosophy Corner handbook to find out. Yeah, because I think the other one, which was dying event. Hang on, what was it? It was
a respawn. Create a safe point that you can reload. Yeah.
Then you lose the opportunity to learn from mistakes.
But do you still have memory of the mistake that you made in that alternate future?
These
questions.
Because, hey, it's a video game. That's why you still have a save point. Then you go back and totally kick ass the second time.
Yeah, exactly. You do get to learn from your mistakes in video games.
Oh, that's fine.
One time in Ghost Recon, one of the very first shooter games I played, reloaded it 1,000 times, I think. Yeah. Because every time I go around the corner, I get shot by a bullet. And then the 1,000th time, the bullet just missed me. And I was like, yeah, cool. Kill that guy now. But I was on like one health. So I had to do it, reload it about 1,000 times. That was frustrating.
I think the reload is the correct answer.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, you're wrong.
Sarah, wrong at Philosophy Corner this week.
Yeah.
2-0 to David.
And you.
And me.
Because you chose.
I chose the reload.
Because also, you could save a point and then live for like 70 years.
Go back to the save point.
And you go, I'm about to die. Oh, reload.
Go be a musician in a different life. You know, be an electrician, be a musician.
Over and over again. Starting to see the error of your ways, Sarah.
Yeah, it changed my mind. Yeah.
Done. We convinced you.
I can't go back now.
That's all for Nits and Twos this week. We have super serious information. So, had a big final qualifier last week. Was won by an unknown participant because we're going to be doing the commentary.
Yeah, we're going
to. It's a long one. Yeah. It is a long one.
That's why we haven't done it.
It's a mirror match of some kind. We're a little bit behind, but we'll have both of those, number 6 and number 7, on YouTube in the next couple of weeks.
Who did the videotaping for
The videotaping.
The videoing.
The videoing was by Toby G. Venus.
Ah, Toby G.
Toby G. Venus.
Yeah.
Toby G. V.
Have you heard of Toby G. V., Sarah?
No.
He gives me the heebie-jeebies, Toby GBB. No.
Yeah.
Great
cinematographer.
Great guy. Cinematographer extraordinaire.
Yeah.
We'll have those ones up. But it does mean that we have our 7 qualified people for the final.
Yeah.
And we've got our last chance qualifier, which involves me.
Ooh. And?
And a bunch of other people. And Kian DeVries Tonnell of Seven Land Hand.
So we've got no Seven Land Handers in there.
But we have two of us. We've got a 1 in 4 chance of making that. No, we've got a...
With maths like that, you can see that it's not going to be Aaron.
That's why I'm not in there. But one person from this last chance qualifier, which involves me and Kian, will make it through to the final, which is going to be held Sunday, December the 7th.
So you better do it, you dastardly kids.
Yeah, we're going to get in there. It'll be us to win a share of $1,000.
Which you'll donate back to Seven Land Hand, and we'll go do a show in Hawaii.
I don't think you can pay for Hawaii with $1,000.
3 people can get to Hawaii with $1,000.
On a boat?
Made of $3,000. made of $1,000.
Paper mache money.
Yeah, we just buy a whole bunch of newspapers, glue a boat together.
Keep your comments and stuff coming in. Tweets, news, Facebook posts, email, snail mail. Trail mail.
What happens if you make a comment and we read it out?
If we read out a comment, we will give you a Seven Land Hand Hyper Magic Nerd badge. These things are in short supply now. We're going to our new design soon. These are limited edition. And just got opened live on air by Ice Cream Social in Las Vegas.
Yeah, how about that?
Episode 70, Popcorn the Musical. They live open one of those. And we're also going to bestow one of these Seven Land Hand Hyper Magic Nerd badges to the Sarah.
That's
the first badge I've bestowed. It's usually Aaron's job.
Yeah. So we've alternated roles today.
I don't. He usually pins it on the person's chest, but today I really wanted to.
Well, we're not wearing clothes, remember?
Yeah. So yeah, where would you put it?
Nipple
through your nipple piercing.
Ew, yeah.
Listen to that show, Ice Cream Social. Show those guys some love. Let them know that you came from Seven Land Hand. And thank you. Thank you, Sarah, for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
I jumped ahead. Fuck. Competition.
Now,
Seven Land Hand competition. You can win. Stor Garrick, I'm going to keep speaking in a staccato voice.
This has been going for nearly three, 4 months.
Yeah, we've been amping this up, and we have a question for you. Ooh. And this is the way that you're going to win the Stor Garrick, either from Rockingham or St. James. It's possible that you could win both. Is it possible that you could win both?
I suppose.
I guess you may as well.
Yeah, if you can get down to the Rockingham store and put an entry in there.
We've been talking a lot of stuff on Seven Land Hand. The answer is, what is Sarah's husband's name? Now, regular listeners can attest that we talk a lot of crap, but deep within that crap...
Tremendous bollocks.
Tremendous bollocks of crap.
Yeah.
We've hidden a nugget of information. The nugget of information is the answer...
So in one of the previous shows...
One of the previous shows.
You can find the answer to the question you're about to read.
It might be quite difficult to find. But whoever answers this correctly will win one of the 2 9-foot-tall Stor Garricks and will draw the winner at next month's Beer and Pizza show.
The winner will be whoever gets drawn out of the hat.
Drawn out of the hat. Correct answers.
And I thought,
if we draw it out and it's the wrong answer, we'll throw it away.
Yeah. And I thought, because Sarah's going to be there for this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's always more fair if a woman draws it out.
Of course, that's why they do it.
We'll get Madison.
That's why they do it on Wheel of Fortune and stuff. Ladies are luckier than guys.
Somehow.
So every special guest that we've had on will be in for the Beer and Pizza show.
Unless you decline the invite.
You just have to answer the following question correctly.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit you up with a question right now. David and Maddie, on an unspecified episode, busted a booster.
That we did.
What card did they take from that booster pack? This is specifically David and Maddie and not me. Maddie is not Kian. David and Maddie busted a booster.
David is not Kian or Aaron.
David, Dr. David and Madison...
Are responsible for choosing this card.
Are responsible for choosing the card from the Buster Booster. What card did they take? Bonus points. Who's the artist?
There's no bonus points.
There's no bonus points. No, you either win or you don't.
If you listen to the show that it's from, you probably have to say the artist. That's pretty important.
So you can place your answers to this question in the blue competition boxes. We've got one in St. James. We've got one in Rockingham as well. Or both. You could win both copies of Garrick. Take being a weird Garrick sandwich.
You'd need 18 feet of space in your house for 2 Garricks.
On top of each other.
Madison was talking, and Maddie was talking about being in a Garrick sandwich when she was on the pod.
I don't know if that's true.
She was. She's got the hots for Garrick.
Oh, goodness. He's like 8 foot tall. He's got a really, really and she's about big 3. Axe. Where would you put it?
She's got plans.
Axe plans.
She'll be back. We'll ask her.
Yeah.
Hey, do you think that one day we could just leave? We go down to the pub. Sarah and Maddie, they could just do the pod.
Oh, yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah. Mm. Almost definitely.
Well, it could be Maddie and I and the 2 girls.
Yeah. They're more of a strong silent type, though.
Yeah, they haven't said much.
Also, they're made of cardboard.
Well.
But we will be back in a fortnight for Seven Land Hand Extra. Where we're going to be looking at Standard. And we've got a few big Standard events coming up. We haven't done a proper focus on Standard in a while, so we're going to be looking at how Cannes has impacted Standard and what decks we're
playing. Will the Great Lump be in the in Sarah's chair?
Sarah's not going to... Oh, Kian's going to be here.
Yeah.
Kian will be back for 7-9 Hand Extra. All those Kian fans out there, we hear you. We can hear you from here.
What does it feel like to sit in Kian's chair?
Warm.
Sarah.
Big shoes to fill.
Slightly damp.
You know what big shoes mean? Kian.
That's a third chair he's on anyway. He's broken several. And he had a birthday in between.
He did have a birthday. Yeah, we'll have to sing happy birthday awkwardly on the podcast.
You can maybe bring some cake in for us or something.
So I'm going to throw to David for the outro.
No chance.
Thank you very much to Dr. David for being my excellent co-host, even though I did some of the hosting near the end there. I'll forgive him.
Gru.
Thank you to Gru. Also, thank you to Gru's... Better I was half. A husband of Gru's wife.
Oh, better half works.
Better half. Sarah, thank you very much for coming on. Enjoy that badge. Hopefully we'll see... Well, we will see you for the Beer and Pizza Show
next month. She's back in a
month.
Yeah,
thank you for having me. I've enjoyed this.
Oh, that's all right. Anytime.
Delighted.
Well, not anytime. If on a magic wand, Ken will probably have an objection to it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But yeah, so... And thanks to me, Aaron, for being pretty great.
Thanks for being here, Aaron.
Yeah, I thought we'd just, as we listen to the dulcet sounds of the Seven Line Hand resident band.
There they are.
I thought we'd talk about our Halloween. We missed Halloween. What did you dress up as, Dr. David?
Dr. Vilden Smith and Valden.
Yeah,
Smith and Valden.
Dr. Smith and Valden.
That was me.
Yeah, the very impressive costume, the very the gold cheeks makeup.
That was from last year, because this year my wife forgot to pick up face paint.
Oh.
So I dressed up as nothing and stayed home.
But you dressed up as nothing, that's all right. Yeah. What did you do for Halloween?
Oh, I didn't actually get a chance to.
You didn't do anything?
No, I took my son to a disco and he dressed up as a...
What did you dress up as?
As a gnome.
That's
a scary gnome.
Did he pull the ladies? The six-year-old ladies with his gnome costume?
No, because they're gross. Ladies are gross, don't you know?
Yeah, they got cooties and shit. I'll tell you the sad story of why my beard is no longer here. I was going to dress up as Zorro. I was going to cut half my mustache off to get that sweet lip mustache that Zorro has.
Yeah.
Bought the costume and everything.
Yeah.
Was ready to go. Went to go shave my facial hair. Just shaved my mustache off.
By accident.
By accident.
Draw it in.
I'll get it. Well, and then...
Did you hear the haunting?
Yeah.
That's the haunting noise.
Well, anyway, yeah. So I accidentally shaved it off. So I felt like I had to shave off my whole beard, and then I just felt really sad. And then I had to stay late at work, so I didn't get to go to the party. That's the end of my Halloween story.
That's
okay. That's probably the end of the podcast.